I want to continue to meditate on the letter to the Hebrews, but among the many points that's important to observe in this gospel text, they're saying, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus doesn't deny that. These are the very beautiful, subtle ways that he's claiming his reality. I am God, and therefore I am forgiving sins. And the sign of it is that I release this man from his paralysis. We find these things throughout the Gospels. And it's important when we read to have our faith alert. Huh? Who but God alone can forgive sins? No one. Now he can give power to some, and the risen Jesus does give power to his church to forgive sins in the power of God. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven by God, because only God can forgive sins. In the letter to the Hebrews, we have today this reading from chapter 4. It's an exhortation about hurrying, about moving along, and not being distracted or rebellious. Let us be afraid, then, that while the promise of entering his rest remains available, any among you be considered to have fallen short. Now's our chance. The Lord Jesus has come. He has died in an act of love on the cross. Forgiveness is poured out. And right now, he's addressing this group, probably in Alexandria, and saying, now's the chance. Hurry. You know, move through this desert. Don't be distracted by good things or difficult things. Don't be distracted. For we have had good news announced to us. We. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the eternal Son of God. And he has come and in an act of love has set us free from sin and darkness, ultimately from death itself. We've heard this. So, what they heard in preparation, what they heard in shadow, we hear in, as he will say later on, this man, in icon, in a symbol in which the reality itself is really present, but not yet in the fullness for us of all that that means. Huh? But they had received the good news announced just as that we have, just as they. Just as they, meaning in this relationship. They received the initial, the shadow. We've received the substance. Huh? But the word they heard did not profit them, since they were not joined in faith to those who heard. That's a difficult line in the Greek text. It could mean they didn't mix faith with what they heard, or they didn't join those who did believe. And probably given the whole theology of the letter, he means this latter. How do we grow in faith? We come together. And our faith mutually builds one another up. We are built up. He's going to say later on, don't neglect the meetings, as some. For we, the believers, will enter into the rest, as he said. And then that line we had, as I swore in my wrath, if they enter my rest. They will not enter my rest. I explained that yesterday. And yet the works were accomplished from the foundation of the world. For this is what he says somewhere about the seventh day, this very elegant preacher. Somewhere, he says, he knows exactly where. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And then in this place, if they enter my rest. Therefore, this rest of God must still be available. And what is God's rest, you see? The total, complete enjoyment of infinite joy. This is God. We're supposed to enter his rest. Since then it remains for some to enter into it, and the first ones who had the good news announced to them did not enter through lack of faith, he again fixes a certain day, as today, saying by David, so after a long time, today, if you hear his voice. Now what he's saying is, every day is today, until one day, today will be the day. And then there will be no more time as we know it, and no more suffering, no more darkness, no more fear. That will be over, and the day will have arrived. And we will enter into his rest. If Joshua had brought them into rest, then David, who comes after Joshua, would not have read, let us, you see, enter into my rest. He would not have spoken of another day after this. Therefore, and this is the beautiful line, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This isn't all there is, folks. There is a Sabbath rest. And we are going through the desert to that rest. So listen in faith and obey. There is a Sabbath rest for God's people. An eternal rest. Isn't that what we pray for all the time? Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. And let perpetual light shine upon them. And so, you see, for he who enters God's rest rests from his works as God rested from his. Let us hurry then. This comes this idea. Let us hurry to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall into the same example of lack of faith. So hurry means what? Pay attention. Move. Don't get distracted. You don't have to stop and smell all the roses. Get going. Your life is short. There is an eternal rest waiting for you. And so we hurry by being alert, by being obedient, and by bringing everybody with us. How many people right now, you know, this is a cold winter day, all up and down the eastern seaboard, I would imagine. That's discouraging, isn't it? Cold like that, you know, we've got to bundle up. And then, you know, the finances are all off, and this is off, and my kids are rebelling, and oh. And God is saying, there is a rest for you, my friend, with me forever. Give your life to me. Trust me. Obey me. And hurry along with me. And we're supposed to tell everybody that. This isn't all there is. You know, the loneliness. How many millions are cultivating, you know, the powers of this cosmos. You know, they're doing Reiki, they're doing all these kind of things. Getting power, getting security, getting health. Getting immortality? No. That's from God. So stop hanging around with those demons and hurry to your goal. That's what he's saying. Hurry. Now, we don't hurry unless we're sure of where we're going, right? We don't hurry. You know, they're giving away steaks down the street. Well, if you believe the person who tells you that, he says, you know, they're going to run out pretty soon, you'd hurry. Because there's a goal. And you're sure of it. But if you're not sure of it, you might as well wander around and waste your time and then hope for the best. This is a beautiful exhortation. And the foundation for it is absolute, absolute certainty about the genuineness of God's promise. That's faith. God has promised. And we have absolute certitude about that promise. That's what faith is. So let's hurry.